I want to start off today with a prayer. I want to ask the Lord to do something wonderful. Father, in the name of Jesus, first of all, I want to thank you for hearing our prayers. And Lord, I want to thank you that you acknowledge them. Lord, I want you to bring people to this little church and fill it up. I want you to fill this thing up to overflowing to the outer extremities of the walls. I want people to come here. I want them to hear your word. I want you to teach your word through me. As I yield myself to you, I want you to show people who you are, who they are, what they can do in the name of Jesus, and how we can all walk in divine health, and how we don't have to worry about the things that's coming, because if we'll be obedient, you will protect us. You've promised it in your word. So, Lord, I know that there is awesome things coming, but Lord, we don't have to be worried about it. So, Lord, I ask you to bring people here to fill this place up so we can teach them these things, so they'll know who they are, so they can go through life knowing what our job is and what we're supposed to do. And, Lord, I ask you to bless all of us as we walk in obedience to your word and serve you in these last days before your return to this earth. And I praise you and thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now then, I want to challenge you. I want you to take at least three people, at least three. I mean, you know, if you really want to go over the hump and do what I did, I made 12. When I made this little statement, somebody asked me a question, actually a pastor of a church. He said, how many people have you led to Christ in the last 12 months? I thought, none. I mean, I thought that's a pastor's job, you know. I mean, that's not my job. I mean, I'm a Sunday school teacher and a deacon and everything else, but I didn't dream I'm supposed to be winning people to Jesus. So he said, if you haven't won anybody to Jesus lately, I want you to write down on a piece of paper, I, Thurman Scrivener, promise you, God, I will do the best I can to let you win X number of people into the kingdom of God through me in the next 12 months. So I wrote all that down. And I left that spot blank in how many. But in the next 12 months, I left it blank. And then I said, Lord, I'm asking you. Now, just at this point, I'd been a Christian 25 years, and I had never led a single person to Jesus, not one. I said, Lord, will you please give me a number to put in there? I want the number that you want me to put in there. I don't want to put my number in there. I want to put your number that you want me to win to Jesus this next 12 months. So, Lord, thank you for the number. And I picked up my pen, and I wrote 12. No, I'll take it back. It was 10. It was 10. I wrote 10. And then I looked at that number, and I thought, my goodness, I wrote that in ink. I need to erase that. I ain't never led nobody to Jesus, and I'm going to lead 10 in the next 12 months. I thought, I've lost my mind. But who did I ask to give me that number? The Lord, see? And see, he was really stretching my faith. Boy, I went home and agonized over this. I said, Lord, I know I can't do this. I know I can't do this. So you gave me that number. You're going to have to make it come to pass. Well, in the next 12 months, I led exactly 10 people to Jesus. I mean, just think, I had never led one. So I want to challenge you to start out. Now, if you want to start out that same way I did, Lord, you give me a number. That's okay. Because he'll do whatever he puts on your heart, he'll do. But if for no other reason you can't think of a number, use the number at least three. Say, Lord, I'm making myself available to you for me to tell. I want to write down the names of at least three people that I know. If I do, if somebody you know, usually everybody's got people in their family that they know. Usually you can think of a brother, sister, aunt, uncle, grandmother, grandfather, somebody that you know is not born again, that's not saved. And you love them with all your heart because they're a family member. And so you write down their names and say, Lord, I'm going to pray for these three people. Now then, if he gives you a bigger number, 5 or 10, like he gave me, then that's okay. But Lord, I'm going to start praying for these people and I'm going to start rebuking the enemy over these people's lives, and I'm going to start asking you to convict these people of sin and bring them into the kingdom of God, and if possible, through my prayers, let me be the one that has the privilege to lead them into the kingdom. Now, Lord, if I'm not the right one, I don't want to hold them back, you know, just because of me. If I'm not the right one, if all I'm supposed to do is pray, then I want you to bring the right labor. But if I can be the right labor, send me. I would love to bring my aunt, my uncle, my son, my daughter, whoever, my mother, into the kingdom of God and see them saved. And when you do that, and then start worshiping and praising, then wake up every morning. When you wake up every morning, you know, wake up saying, Lord, I praise you and thank you that you're my king. You're the King of kings and Lord of lords, and you're my king. And today you've set a new day out there for me, and today I'm going to do something for you. I don't know what, but I know you know what. So I'm just making this piece of flesh and my spirit and soul available to you to be used today for your glory. Because I want to see people get saved in these last days. Lord, I believe that we are living in the end so quick that it's just a few years till you come back to this earth. And Lord, I don't want to stand before you one day with no souls. I can't even imagine coming home into the kingdom of God. And he says, well, let's see, how many souls did you win since I told you to go into all the world and make disciples? How many did you win? 5,000? Lord, did you say five? No, I said 5,000. Ooh, that'd be awful, wouldn't it? 5,000 is a lot, isn't it? But you know, if we have big goals, you know, if you see God say, Lord, I'm available. You know, if you want to use me, when I wrote down that number 10 that year, I thought I'd lost my mind. And I knew I'd lost my mind. Here I'd been a Christian 25 years and I ain't never won one. But just think, the first time that when I told God I wanted to be used mightily for his kingdom. I mean, I had never seen a healing. I'd never seen a miracle. I just barely got into the winning of souls. And I'm seeing God save souls. And I thought, Lord, if you can save these number of souls, maybe this part in the scripture that says, you're the deliverer that I can cast out demons, maybe that could come to pass too. And maybe where you said that this sign shall follow those that believe, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall get well. Lord, maybe, I could lay hands on sick people and see you heal them. Lord, if you want to use me for that way, I'm available. I believe you can do anything. And all of a sudden your God becomes not such a little bitty God in a box. And one day, you know, he gets these 10 souls saved, and all of a sudden you begin to kick the sides out on this box. He saved 10 souls this year. And then who would have ever dreamed that the day would come when you could say, I've seen God do awesome miracles. I've prayed for people and seen him put brain stems back together. I've prayed for people that had crushed legs and watched him give them instantly new legs that get up and run off. I mean, that wasn't even in my vocabulary back in those days. You know where I'm coming from? You know, I mean, if God is a faith God and you have to have faith to see him do something. And when I was way back yonder as a Southern Baptist deacon and Sunday school teacher, if you'd have come to me and said, you know, there's a man sitting there with two crushed legs. They brought him in. He's got steel on him. Why don't you go over and lay hands on him and see Jesus heal him? I said, do what? No, those kind of things don't happen anymore. Only the first apostles got to do those kind of things. Because I ain't never seen that done in church. Why? Because we don't have any faith. But after my faith began to rise up and I started praying for people, now then, 20 or 25 years later, when I pray for you, if I don't see a change, I'm thinking, Lord, what did I do wrong? There's something I prayed for you, there's got to be a change. Is that the way we got to believe? Absolutely. If I pray for you and it don't happen, then there's something wrong. Either I didn't believe or I had a sin in my life or something, but God never says no to his promises, does he, Scott? So if when you pray for your children, there should be a change, right? Amen. That's absolutely right. Every time. And so when we get to a point where we have that kind of faith, We're out looking for somebody to pray for. You know, out talking to people. I mean, I went up to the parts house yesterday to get an oil filter for my tractor. And I called as if they had it, and they did. I went into the tractor place about, I don't know, 10 o'clock, 9 or 10 o'clock. And I said, I come for that oil filter. And the boy run over and picked it up and brought it back. I said, son, he was a big, nice, strong, good-looking young boy that had a T-shirt on, you know, had big old tattoos all over his body and everything. I said, son, are you a Christian? Yeah. I said, you go to church? He said, well, yeah. I said, there's my grandfather right there. I said, I didn't ask nothing about your grandfather. I want to know about you. Well, my grandfather goes to church. I said, son, I ain't talking to your granddaddy. I want to know about you. Do you go to church? Well, some. I said, you know, now would be a very good time to get back in church every Sunday. I said, with what's coming to America, you want to be in church and be an obedient son of God. I said, I believe that God is fixing to judge this world. And I said, he's already doing it. And I said, if there was ever a time to be an obedient Christian, it's now. Now, I want to take you to something, and I want to read to you Zechariah chapter 14. Now, I don't know when this is going to happen, but it's going to happen because it's in God's Word. We're going to start out today with Zechariah chapter 14. And I want you to see, I'll get it, honey. I want you to see what the Word of God says. Zechariah 14, chapter 14, verse 1. Watch, for the day of the Lord is coming, when your possessions will be plundered right in front of you. You know, now, the day of the Lord is a scary day, isn't it? The judgment of God coming upon this earth. Watch. I mean, pay attention. For the day of the Lord is coming when your possessions will be plundered right in front of you. In fact, Cheryl and I was talking last night about things. And she said, you know, honey, things don't mean nothing to me no more. I said, well, you're getting to the right point. I said, we have a lot of things, but you know how long it would take to lose everything you got? Just like that. I mean, all they'd have to do is come off and drag you off, right? It says, on that day, I will gather all the nations. How many?
All
the nations to fight against Jerusalem.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, The Day of the Lord is Coming, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.